The first piece I'm going to do for you, it was entitled "For the Love of Poetry, I Lift My Soul," but I changed the title to just "Poetry" because it was just too much. It goes, "Poetry is like an epiphany of emotions, a story told through the eyes of an open heart or through the tears of a wounded soul. You see, poetry is the opportunity to be heard and felt, a symphony of words to lubricate the mind and free you for a point in time. You see, poetry is a gift to all humanity with the ability to heal a crazed man's sanity. You see, it's a chance to be seen and understood. If not physically, then through the unspoken words that bleed with emotion too deep to speak aloud. You see, poetry is an escape from the compound that society has built around the mind. It's a gateway to pain, love, truth, injustice, hate, fear, and so much more. Without poetry, the earth would stand still and deal a mighty blow to man and woman alike. Without poetry, the artist that we see before us probably wouldn't even be here. And if without poetry, neither would I." This poem is entitled "Criminal Emotions." When I was very young, at a very young age, it was like certain things were conflicting me, and like, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It's called "Criminal Emotions." It goes, "Have you ever feared what you might become in spite of who you know you are? Where trouble clouds never cease to scream at you while they feast off the informities that baffle clear judgment. All while confusion plays a hand in every step you make and every bone you break. It sometimes makes me wish I wasn't born. Then I wouldn't be persecuted and prosecuted for these criminal emotions I have no control over. You see, I'll tell you what I mean. Sometimes lust fills my body and I don't care who I am with, whether it be man or whether it be woman. You see, it's so confusing because I know who I am, but I'm afraid of who I may become. You see, I've prayed since fifth grade these feelings dissipate, but they never do. I've prayed to God to take this tattered rag of emotions out of my life, taking the strife of having to choose a husband or a wife." I tried to mix them up. This one is kind of sad. It was when I was going through a couple of depression stages in my life, but I'm over it now, so who cares? This poem is entitled "It's Morning Again." It goes, "It's a pain for me to wake when every day I feel like dying. It's like an emotional roller coaster just to get out of bed. Should I rise to the top, only to be let back down? To be twisted and twirled and thrown to the world, the ravenous beast that devours souls turns cowards into heroes, leaving heroes as cowards, always showered in the ifs and maybes, never the yeses or nos. But who knows what tomorrow will bring, they sing to me, trying to put me to sleep so I can't see my own destiny. I mean, maybe tomorrow will bring a greater song for me to sing if I could breathe. I mean, it's so hard to breathe. I feel like I'm drowning in a breezy sea of nothingness, like maybe I should continue to live and suffocate and breathe in little air slowly, or maybe I could end it all. I could write my suicide letter all over these walls. But if I really helped the devil do his handiwork, would I really be free or just jailed by more misery? This is slowly killing me as I'm praying for the keys to break free from this emotional roller coaster that we choose to call life. So I rest my head and I close my eyes, only to wake and see it's morning again." Now I'm going to hit you with a love poem. This love poem was actually for the first girl I ever fell in love with. It's entitled "My Wish Is My Dream." It goes, "They say that in life the things that we wish for may come true. That's when I found you. But I'm guessing, see, that you're testing me, but you're really not trying to get next to me, which is stressing me because you're blessing me with your whole personality, which is frightening me because I find you, see, that you enlighten me. But I'm still fighting, see, because it could be oh so right with me. Now, as I'm pacing, my mind's racing about our relationship that coulda, woulda, shoulda been. I think about my fantasy of you lying next to me and our conversations that run wild, which is all we need for now. saving that hugging and loving for a much later date up under a sunset. You know, I bet you probably think this is a lie, for you probably heard it time and time, but baby, please listen to this rhyme. You see, our love could be so sublime, so please say you'll be mine, for my wish is my dream, and if it should die, then so shall I. This one is entitled Strawberry Treatment. I'm not gonna beat around the bush with you. You see, I wanna taste your insides and outs. Now, I know I'm a novice, but because of you, one day I'll be at my best, laying any questions to rest. So, for now, let me try my best. Because tonight I've got something special planned for you. Understand, the ordinary, my sweet, just won't do. Music in the background, flowers dressing the bed. Lay back, my love, and let me give you some head. So gently I run my tongue over your clit, and with a forward motion I lift it into my mouth. Taking my bottom lip, I stroke across your clit, shaking my head just a little as I suck it in, holding and moving my tongue rapidly as you softly moan, turning me on. Legs up and quivering, I push down on your clit with my tongue as you quietly whisper, I'm about to come. I take a strawberry to suck up your unfermented juices and slowly devour your essence. You sigh in relief to your strong release to see more strawberries sitting at the rest of the bed. So I repeat till you lose your motherfucking head. This poem is entitled Skin Deep. It's kind of short, but I think it is good for it. If beauty is your slave, then gorgeous is your keep. Slavishly devoted to the core of our desires, for an image is what we seek. Not realizing sometimes just how weak we are. For the latest and greatest, we slave seeking with all the rage. Lusting after these glorified things for the glorified things they bring. Simply seduced by society's lies just so we can say, we look fly. Rituals and routines for beauty, yes, we sing. For money, it will bring. I'm going to do Home Sweet Home before I do Anger is the Best Mood, because Home Sweet Home actually is what I did for the person. I wrote this for them in the beginning, and then Anger is the Best Mood followed afterwards. Home Sweet Home is another love poem. You don't know what you do to me. From the way that you walk to the way that you talk, you make my soul sing. You see, I have searched my life for a love as divine as this, longing for the sweet feel of your kiss every time you're away from me, so patiently I await your return. For you to caress me the way that only you know how to, I thank God that I found you in this profound feeling that you bring to me. I swear to you, it's almost like pure ecstasy and how I pray that you stay next to me and keep blessing me as you do so graciously, making every bone in my body quiver and my heart tender with joy as I reminisce on when you used to call me your little love toy. I mean, you've got me dreaming of how we used to be, waiting for time to spend your love back to me, so I can make you understand that I am your man and can be every man that you ever want me to be, ever so passionate. And it's on this page that I'm stressing the profession of my heart's confession. I fall in love with you every time I look into your eyes with the morning sunrise, which is no surprise because I see heaven in your eyes. Sending me through an epiphany of pure unadulterated bliss, I swear I can't stop thinking about your kiss and how sweetly you grip me, taking every part of me so lovingly. So lovingly I'll throw it back to you. So lovingly I'll watch your back for you. So lovingly I'll stand beside you when you can't stand alone. So lovingly I'll give you a roof that we can call home. Just, if you hear it, you'll understand what happened after, what was going on and what was going on. It goes like this. I woke up this morning with a chill in my bones. My back began to ache and my stomach began to twirl. You can't imagine this feeling that overcrept me. a strong feeling of pure disgust. I couldn't help but get angry at the thought of me waking up and you not there, because then I'll know that you're over there. You see, you tell me face to face how much you miss me, but lately I can't tell when you kiss me. I mean, you won't even take me, you won't even taste me. Soft brown eyes on how they used to undress me, replaced with a distant look of an off-bound gaze. Building up to my alone days, wishing you come home, waiting by the phone days. Hugging you with no response days, thinking to myself that this is just a phase. Until I faintly heard you mumble another man's name. You see, I keep living in our used to be days. When you used to hold me strongly, never letting go days. Tell me how much I'm the one days, how much you love me days, before you faintly mumbled that hoe's name. You see, I was the one who stood beside you when you needed a shoulder to cry on. I was the motherfucker you used to rely on. Let me take it down, dismantle it, and remantle it for you, because somewhere you fell behind. I'm the nigga that used to cook you breakfast in bed. I'm the nigga that used to give you good head. Washed your clothes and fixed our bed. Ran you here, took you there, gave you money for them clothes you got on your ass dressed to impress. But when I ask you that bitch name, I'm causing you stress. Now it's down to the fuck me and I ain't shit days, and I can't take this shit these days, so I put your shit out yesterday. This poem is entitled Infatuation. I want to get lost in your emotions as we move through the motions of life. I want to sleep till your love shines over the horizon and brings me peace of mind. I want to travel the sands of time with you, holding hands through all the emotional weathers to draw us even closer together. I want to make passions with you. I want to eat, sleep, drink, live, die, fly, walk and talk with you, dance the night away with you, stay with you. Baby, I want to pray with you. I want to fall in love with you every time I look into your eyes with the morning sunrise. I want you to want me to want in us. I want to love you. I want to love you like nobody, baby. I said I want to love you like nobody, baby. I said I'm going to love you like nobody, baby. I said I am going to love you. I'm going to love you like nobody else can. This next piece is from when I was going to school. I seen a lot of young females getting pregnant, and they were claiming they were in love. You know what I'm talking about. You went to school with me. And it was like a high pregnancy rate in our school. And it was just like, I don't know. Like, I thought of John Doe, and then I just made it John B. John B just basically explains a story about how I view some of the things that some of them may face. Or actually, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to do the poem. In a place too poor to the eyes of society's pocket size, where many people often fantasize of the better things that only money can bring, a mother worries about her child left at home from 9 to 5, then 6 to 12, while she works just to have enough money to pay her bills and still survive. But understand, it wasn't always like this. Back in the day, about age 16, she knew who she was and what she was going to be. But most of all, she knew she was in love with John B. Now, you could tell she hadn't been to the library in a while because she forgot. You can't judge a book by its cover. Now, understand, John B. was a classic story, and his old detailed frame excited her eyes, and she just had to take him home not reading his review, and for this, she was penalized. But understanding, when she got him home, she was so surprised because John B. was everything she had visualized. He was sweet, charming, considerate, and everything that fairy tales dreamed of, but that was all a scheme of love. That's when he offered her these three words: I love you. Her bra popped, her panties dropped, and she couldn't bring herself to tell him to stop. So 9 months later, after that one night of passion and the umpteen weeks of unreturned phone calls, she finally realized John B. didn't love her at all. Mm. This poem is entitled So Sick. This I wrote this when I was working at Walmart. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being a part of the working poor. Bills up to my knees, please. I'll get to them later. I'm so tired of punching into a never-ending time clock for less than what my check shows my hours are worth. Scrunching a penny, scratching a dollar, hoping to make five, praying for 20, hoping that when I hit the right age, it'll even be there. I mean, goddamn. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being a part of the working poor. It seems like for every two doors that open, three of them bitches close. I'm pinching a check that I don't even get to enjoy. So busy managing this budget, looking at my negative, sometimes I wonder how the hell did I even end up with what the fuck I have. Scraping a zero, looking for my hero, for Ed McMahon to come and tell me I won $1 million, or I hit the lotto, or even a great-grandfather passing away and I inherited $500,000. As fucked up as that sounds, I'll settle for $500,000. God rest his soul. Because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being a part of the working poor. This is the last love poem. Thank God. After I've wrote so many love poems, I come to the conclusion that I really don't even believe in love anymore. It's entitled Melodies from Heaven. I heard your sweets taste like melodies, oh so heavenly. Oh, this is a sex poem. Baby, please. Won't you stay next to me? What would you say if I asked to get lost in your rhythm? Would you deny me this simple pleasure of getting to know you just a little better? Or would you lay your sweets upon my platter and let me eat to my heart's desire? Letting our souls catch on fire, quenching contentment. I'm telling you, this could be heaven sent. Because I heard your sweets taste like melodies, oh so heavenly. Baby, please, won't you stay next to me? And let me hear your heartbeat and see if we can make ours match over time. You see, all we need is some time together. Exchanging emotions that can be heard in three-part harmonies, hitting each note so perfectly, each tone so passionately. Crescendoing to gratification with a capital exclamation point. And now I know why they say your sweets taste like melodies. Because your sweets, my sweet, are more than heavenly. So please say that you're always. That you'll always stay next to me. This poem was actually dedicated to a young Caucasian female who insulted me. And I didn't really get to say what I really wanted to say, so I wrote a poem. This poem is called Fuck You, Cassandra. Now, what she said to me was very... Oh, my God, just wait. Just listen. Okay. A statement was brought to my attention by a white girl's words who nearly blew my mind. The audacity of these white girl's words made me feel a rage that I foolishly kept caged. Now, I've heard many people say these words before, but the words never struck home until her words came knocking on my door. Now, I'm gonna try to watch what I say and try not to spray any profanity on the walls. But the bitch said, I'm more black than you are. Now, Lord knows my battleground is on pen and paper, and no man should ever lay hands on a female, excuse me, especially a white girl. The first words that flew into my mind were, who the hell do you think you are to define how black I am? Last time I checked, it was based on what skin tone I am. Not because of the words that I use or the clothes that I wear. Maybe my English ain't be as improper as it's supposed to. I'm not supposed to wear my pants tight with a belt on my waist and my shirts to the right size. Maybe you say what you say because I don't fit the stereotype of the supposed everyday black man. Absorb this into your feeble little brain. Don't let the ignorance of some black men and women who tell you you act black, which is so stupid and irritating on the part of my brothers and sisters, trick you. This is what I want you to take to heart, boo-boo. You see how our skin complexions don't match? How mine is darker or blackened? And when you have seen how we have been sold for gold and told we count for not just to fit the ideas of American civilization, that's when the fuck you can say I'm black. Because being black is not some action verb. Because you don't see little kids running down the street screaming out, "Hey, Ma, I'm acting black and I don't need no hands!" You know, this is what I should have said and walked away. Fuck you and any of your ignorant ass rules filled with nonsense. I'm actually black because my pigment tone says so. So you can spill anything that you want. And you know what else? I meant to tell you this. Fuck you, bitch. And have a nice day. This poem is entitled Niggas Nation. When I was growing up in Timken, a lot of my fellow peers, like, they were caught up in certain things that, like, I don't know, they were just following certain rules and regulations set up by their own nation, so I gave them their own nation, and I explained what it basically was in a degree. It goes, after a few years, construction began again. Standing beside this tower, black power began expansion, or construction on the word Negro. Now, for some odd reason, this building was still displeasing and a headquarters for Africans, Americans, black Americans, whatever you go by in this new day and age, will be represented by the niggas of America. Soon the infectious word would take over Negro headquarters, then dominate as the niggas nation. Soon the chants of black power will be muffled by the silly antics of nigga please. The men and women, along with their future children, began to settle, running the streets, still trying to make ends meet. But the niggas nation drowned away the actions of real life into the late night parties and one night stands. Trapped in the fast pace of the here and now, they lost sight of the right choices. They fell into the stereotype of being nothing but entertainment for the whole world to point in awe at. The great athletes that dribble to the beat of some rap superstar's newest single. You see, the cries for wanting to be something great were replaced with the roaring screams of young black teens. I want to be a rapper, or I want to be a basketball player, or I'm going to die trying. So many have fallen into this easy way out that it's become the hardest route, but the niggas nation still stands strong and we follow along so blissful and happy like sap from trees sticking to anything these niggas throw at us. Because the niggas nation's reputation can't be surpassed by anything but its word. The hardcore approach of niggas taking shit from no man spread through the land, and now we're the fearless killers, illest niggas as we sit behind bars and words spread fast like we want a pot of fame. Bragging rights take flight and everybody knows your name. These silly ass niggas can't see that we're destroying us as a culture as we slowly but surely pick each other off like vultures. If only we could open our eyes and see that the niggas nation's still being ran in a white man's world. While they sip back cocktails, shaking their head at the ignorance that keeps making their pockets swole. And if you doubt me, then prove me wrong. The next one is entitled My Heart's Confession. This, actually, I should have did this one after My Wish Is My Dream, because this follows My Wish Is My Dream, My Heart's Confession. This is how I felt afterwards. I've got something to tell you. I've had something on my mind for quite some time now, and I need you to hear what my heart can say. I think I've fallen for you all over again. I keep telling myself we're nothing more than friends, but it's so hard to do because we started out as lovers and then ended up as friends. Then we were lovers yet to wind up only back as friends, and yet we go through these motions all again. I'm so confused and I don't know what to do. I find myself constantly wishing that you were still in my arms, as I still feel the soft velvet touch of your hand to my face and the sweet aroma of vanilla as it slowly rolls off your skin and your hypnotic brown eyes that always left me paralyzed. Now, as I speak to you softly, I will tell you no lie. The sound of your voice still gives me butterflies. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I love you and have always loved you and always will, but I can't keep going on playing these silly games, so I need you to hear what my heart can't say. I hope one sweet day you'll understand that I was your biggest fan, but time has told me to move along, so I seal these words to you with a kiss as I say, farewell, my love. My heart's moved on. The last poem I got set up is only because of First Friday. You'll hear it. I tried to do this because I was trying to make people mad so they would actually come back at me with something. But I'm not going to do that one until now. The next one I'm going to do is actually, I'm not even sure if I can do this one. But it's called Resentment. I wish you were dead. You see, I hate every fiber of your being. You disgust me from head to toe, you punk asshole. You see, you are nothing more than a cow in a man's clothing, a glitch in the system of things. The fact that you breathe the same air as me makes me wish your lungs would collapse. You see, you shame the idea of being a man, taking bitch-ass moves when I thought you were a man, but you proved to be nothing but a scam. Feeding off your own lies, I hope it brings on your demise, because now it's you that I despise. And I only give you attitude now just because I can. And if you don't like it, then you should have acted like a real man. Instead, I got a boy too weak to stand on his own 2 feet that he got to leech off others, which got me so ashamed to even call you a brother. Got me feeling like I don't want another lover. I mean, you cheat, you lie, you're lazy and sensitive, and plus you be funky sometimes. You see, you're nothing more than a helpless soul to starve the world, and really to be mad at you, I can't really do that at this point in time, because I'm a grown-ass man and I know where I stand. So this is what I want you to do, baby. Go on. Scram.
You can't tell I messed that up, did you? I mean, like, skipped like half of the poem. American Pie is the next one, and then I'm going to do Little Black Box. American Pie goes,
we're living in a dream in a scheme of things where only the money you bring decides whether or not you have a right to sing. A puppet for the paper, the almighty dollar, the cream that nurtures our beings is all we yearn for, all we long for. For the comforts of luxury we slave, hoping to capture this true essence of American living where the price of your worth is defined by a scale of rich and poor. Plotted and debated and separated into change. Temporary gain for momentary pain is what we give in exchange for this price of living. Giving up all we have for this piece of American pie that some are willing to lay their life on the line, and some will even rob you blind at the same time. You see, we live in a land where it costs to be the boss, and if you get lost, well, you better find your own damn way home. Because the price of living just went up, and for some of us, we're just plain stuck. Trapped in a financial sea, praying for financial prosperity, barely making it by, and on this I will not lie, it can make a grown man cry. I mean, just imagine your house waving goodbye, or learning that your school loan's been denied, all while trying to pay a gas bill that's way too high. And trying to maintain our wish list for the finer things that loot can bring, you know, those designer things, labeled to be priced by name, labeled to be priced by fame. While mommy tries to explain why there's no food on the table. Lord willing, help her if you're able. Because we're living in a dream in the scheme of things where only the money you bring decides whether or not you have a right to sing. This poem is entitled Little Black Box. I am not African searching for my homeland because I was born in America. But I'm not even American because I'm told to go back where I come from. So I am just a black man searching for who I am and where I belong, because this box society has put me in. Trust and believe I won't stay there for long. Understand, this box is designed to eat the soul and make you lose control. Cry on the inside and die on the outside, because from the lies you can't hide. The lies that are supposed to feed every man of a darker hue. Men and women who look like me and you. You know the African Americans, blacks, niggas, niggers, and coons. The ignorantly violent motherfuckers who fucked up society rioting about some civil rights, when everybody knows that goes against all African stereotypes, because everybody knows niggers can read and write, right? But built strong to carry on the rigorous works of a hard day's labor, while savoring unintelligent conversations, and slaves to no rights or freedom of speech, because what could a nigger preach besides the gospel of a hostile takeover? You see, I'm tired of this box and all of its rules used to chain and make me look like a fool, so I think it's time I take some motherfuckers to school. History lessons now in session, so gather around, because this shit is profound. Did you know it was niggers who built this great America up from the ground? off the backs of brutes and savages, off the backs of scholars and war heroes. Got me determined more than ever to climb out of this box and tell any motherfucker who stands in my way they can kick rocks. Because no longer will I hide in the disguise of lies that tell me I don't even try or I do barely enough just to get by. You see, it's left me conflicted because I'm still depicted as some angry, naive, overly religious, poor, thugged out criminal. It's subliminal. I've been labeled and classified and put to the side before I even hit this earth. Branded and tucked away in a box on a shelf marked destined to fail. And if you really believe any of that ignorant ass nonsense, then fuck you and go to hell. Now, I know I'm not that good, but I decided to write a boasting poem so then that way I can make the people at First Friday try and come at me with something. This one is entitled Divine Inspiration. It goes, it's by a divine inclination that when my pen touches paper, words begin to form so rapidly and oh so passionately. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to toot my own whistle. It's just that I know I've been touched by a higher inspiration. So each poem has a strong dedication because he alone infiltrates every word I say and brings its manifestation. Feeding a hungry minds that pray to listen, so I feel like my thoughts glisten and I pray that you pay attention to each rhythmic word that passes between my teeth. Understand there's a message that I bequeath to you, with each message speaking fluently because the validity of these words speak true to me. Wholehearted feelings I'm dealing in the most professional way, learning the tricks of the trade, and each day I upgrade. And like fine wine I grow better with time, and like caviar and crackers my taste is unique, leaving you weak with joy as you yell out encore. You see, sometimes I leave people asking for just one more, and of this I'm quite sure, but still an amateur on his way is what you see, but there are more to my possibilities and abilities, you feel me? So when you see me standing and ready to perform, know that I got a gift from God, and I need not say no more. That's all of it.
The Poets Haven presents February Love. This has been a presentation of The Poets Haven, www.poetshaven.com.